All right, I'm gonna go ahead and start. You ready?
Let's do it.
Cool. All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode of Spotcast. We have a fantastic episode for you today and with a fantastic guest. The theme of today's episode is gonna be all around scaling your firm through standardizing your services and talking about the results you get with that, with, you know, having more value for your clients, a better work-life balance, additional fees, and more time to spend with your family at the end of the day. It almost sounds too good to be true, but my guest today has actually proven and tested it with his own firm. So without further ado, I'd love to introduce our guest, Ryan Lazanis. Thank you for coming on and spending some time with us today. Just for anyone who doesn't, I guess, know you already, would you mind just giving us a quick intro?
Yeah, for sure. And thanks for having me here, Ethan. So I'm a CPA, born and raised in Montreal, Canada. I started an accounting firm called Zen Accounting in 2013. It's one of the earliest online accounting firms in North America when I started it, and started from scratch with zero clients, took it all the way to a successful exit in 2018. It was sold to a large corporate services firm based out of the Isle of Man, of all places, which was an interesting experience. And
because you flew out there too, didn't you?
Yeah, flew out there. So I never thought I'd head over there, but yep. You know, I could check that off the list. And started Future Firm immediately because it was very clear to me, even before I went through the acquisition, that where my real passion lay was in helping advance the accounting profession, helping other firm owners create a more modern business model that serves their lifestyle a lot better, simply because the traditional firm has dragged a lot of people down. Could be a very stressful, busy business model with lots of hours. Yep. And the point of Future Firm is to help help firm owners very cliche, but work less and earn more. And I think that could be achieved through systematization of the business model. So I help via a lot of free content on my blog, podcast, newsletter, and we have our online coaching program, Future Firm Accelerate, with over 700 successful students in it since we launched 2 years ago, to help give them the tools to create that business model in a short period of time. So that's a brief overview of myself.
Yeah, no, very good. A lot going on there too. And I guess besides what you're doing with Future Firm, you also just got back from Indonesia recently, didn't you?
Yeah, so I was there for about 7 weeks. And as I was mentioning to you, my wife's family's over there. So we like to head out there every so often. And, you know, I kind of practice what I preach, in that you build a business around the lifestyle that you want. So if you want ultimate flexibility, which is what was very important to me when I started Future Firm, I start with the end in mind and then reverse engineer the plan to get that. And, you know, the second time around in my business was a lot easier to achieve than the first time around when I started my firm. I made a lot of mistakes, fell into a lot of pitfalls. And that's what I want to do. That's what I want to help other firm owners with, is avoid all those costly mistakes and help them fast track their results to get them to their ideal destination a lot faster.
I mean, that's so valuable. That, I mean, I always hear mistakes are the biggest growth accelerator you can have. And the fact that you've accelerated your growth and now you're ready just to share that growth with others, it's fantastic.
Correct. Correct.
And so our theme is all about scaling today. However, you have a very good definition of scaling and how it's actually not the same as growth. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think like there's a lot of firms that can grow. And growing is generally not the issue with accounting firms, because there's a lot of business out there. There's a lot of demand out there. But what happens with growth is we see a lot of firm owners that are just trapped in their business. And yes, they could add to the top line, but it's to the detriment of their personal life. Whereas with scale, when we can systematize the business, we can grow the top line without adding on a one-to-one basis in terms of more hours that you need to spend in the business. So scale means that you can add to the top line more smoothly, more systematically, without more labor. Whereas growth We see tons of firms growing, but they're trapped working too many hours and chained to their business.
Yeah, which is the perfect segue then in this actual true definition of scaling is you developed a seven path step way to scale your accounting firm or business with standardization. And I guess I wanted to ask, how did you get to the seven steps? Was there six steps before? Did you end up getting to eight steps and you're like, no, that's too many, bring it back? Or what was that process like?
Here's the interesting thing. Here's the interesting thing, because it's no longer seven steps.
Okay. Wow.
It's six steps.
Newsflash. Okay. Six steps.
Yeah. So when we originally started talking, I put an episode out. What's become very important for me is ultimately not helping businesses scale. I think a lot of people want to grow and make more money, but I think the more important thing is, how can we get the financial independence we want or that we need to serve our lifestyle? But more importantly, how could we get our time back? Mm-hmm. And how could we have more time with our family, more time for hobbies, more time on vacation where we could disconnect and not have to check our device every hour or so without worrying that there's a fire that we have to take care of. So when I was I was teasing out these different steps for this system, I'm a terrible accountant, terrible at tax. I realized that very early on in my firm, but I was a systems thinker and I really liked figuring out systems for how to make things work efficiently and effectively. So I'm always thinking about systems. So when we originally started talking, Ethan, about like having me on the show, I shared with you a podcast episode and I was kind of like teasing out like what that system would be to help firm owners systematize their business so that they could earn more and work less. And I was still teasing it out, but I had consolidated one of the steps in that system. So it's a roundabout way of saying it's no longer seven steps, it's six steps. And it came about from reflecting on the success of my firm, but more so reflecting on the coaching that I've done with hundreds of other firms and seeing which steps in sequential order should be followed to give yourself the biggest wins to getting your time back. And some of the steps if we review all these steps, some of them are later on in that system, which too many firm owners focus on too early on. So it's six steps and it's going to stay that way.
Six steps. No, love it. So, and sometimes less is more, totally. So, but all right. So getting into the six step pathway then,
yes.
The first step is all around standardizing your service and then basically prepping the processes that need to go into producing a deliverable or a service and then pricing that service appropriately. But just to break it down, what is the definition or your definition of standardization? Just so we're all clear on the same page.
Yeah. So the first step, the first thing that people should be doing if they're interested in growing a firm and scaling a firm that gives them sanity, where they're not like chained to the business, where they're able to take a step back from it, is like a professional services business is a very hard business to scale. Because it relies on, we have tight deadlines, we have, specialized knowledge that's required, and we have to produce the work to a high quality. Otherwise, if we don't meet the deadlines or if we don't produce the work well, there's consequences to us or our clients. So we have to really be on top of whatever's being outputted. And the issue that a lot of firms face is that they're servicing a very broad client base with a very broad set of needs. And it becomes very impossible. It becomes very difficult to standardize all of that work. So the first step, if you really want to systematize your business and help put yourself in a position to reclaim time back, is to standardize what you offer your clients. And firms should really be just focusing on their sweet spot and putting together packages. My favorite approach is the gold, silver, bronze type packages. Yep. And ensuring that all clients fit into those packages, because that makes it easier to onboard the client, that makes it easier to train the team, you're eliminating a lot of different variables, and you can create more of a machine that way by focusing on standardizing what you offer, in other words, your packages, but also making sure that we're pricing them appropriately, because some of the busiest firms I've seen out there are the ones that are spread too thin, doing too much for too little, because they're taking on too many clients, at not enough of a price point, meaning they don't have the margin coming in to maybe bring on better resources, or they're just creating a lot of busy work for themselves. So yeah. Really getting the packaging and the pricing down pat is the first step. That does no good to focus on your marketing or automation if you don't have that going well, because you're just going to bring in more of the wrong clients on more of the wrong packages or service offers at more of the wrong price points. So we really want it. That's, for me, that's the foundation of the entire business.
Yeah. And I mean, just to stop you there as well, though, to ask kind of a devil's advocate question, because mm-hmm. I think our audience probably falls into two groups where, you know, there are firms who are already offering advisory services and they have some type of packages. Maybe they're not perfect and they want to improve those. But there's also those who are just starting from the beginning. Do you think it's easier if you're just starting out, or is it not really much of a difference? I guess what's your advice there to those two groups?
That is a good question. I'm not sure it makes a huge difference. I mean, ultimately, it might even be easier if you're just starting out, because the ones that already have an existing client base have to convert their existing clients onto those new packages and pricing.
Yeah.
And that means that you're probably going to deal with a bunch of clients that won't want to do that, which in my opinion is actually a good thing, because if you're already an existing firm, most firms are already overloaded and over capacity, and most firms have X percentage of clients that just aren't good clients anyway. So we do want to churn some of those clients to give yourself the extra headroom and capacity. So if we can get rid of 10, 15, 20% of clients, or even more, but the remaining of the clients are at a much higher price point on more standardized packages, then that's a big win for me. So to answer your question, it's probably easier for the startup firm, but it's probably more effective for the more established firm that's probably already too busy.
Mm. No, that makes total sense. And it's also relatable as well, because I mean, our founder at Spotlight, Richard Francis, before Spotlight was actually founded, he had a boutique advisory firm. And one of the biggest ways he transformed his boutique advisory firm was letting go the bad clients. And I think for some listeners, it can be scary, but it's just like how, you know, you go out in your garden and you dehead the flowers or you prune a bush, you know, you're promoting new growth within your business. So I think that's absolutely fantastic.
It can be very scary, but one thing I'd point on that is you don't have to do this to all clients at once. So the way that I would say, if you're looking to convert your client base over, there's ways to do it where you're not just making one big announcement to 100% of your clients. You could like announce to like your C-level clients first, maybe like, you know, 25% of your client base. And then based on how they react, you could, you know, you could remodel the approach for the B-level clients and then the A-level clients. So there's ways to go about it that can make people feel a little bit more comfortable.
Definitely. So starting more of that first low risk environment, and then going up once you have a more proven strategy. Yep. Okay. That makes perfect sense. And then I guess in terms of, you know, because this, your first step is like a two-part, it's standardizing the processes, mm-hmm. but also pricing them accordingly. But just for, you know, all those accounts who may be undervaluing their current services, and they might not even know that they're undervaluing themselves. But in my own experience, I work with accountants daily, and sometimes it really ends up being the case often. So how does an accountant come up with standardized pricing? What are the factors that they should be looking at? Is it where they're based or their current customer base? Where do they start, I guess?
This is actually can be a trickier subject, because the approach that I advocate is a value pricing methodology where we're pricing. I mean, it depends on if you're a firm that's doing a lot of volume and have a lot of client leads coming in the door, and you're adding a lot of clients, then you can fix price your packages and like, these are the packages, these are the prices, you fit into one of them, which one do you want, take it or leave it kind of thing. Yep. If you're more of the boutique kind of firm, then I usually advocate for more of a value pricing methodology where we have to price the individual client and their individual situation. And there's a sales process that has to go into that. And I'm not sure we'll have enough time to actually get into that. Yeah. But the main comment is the vast majority of firms are underpricing and selling themselves short. We provide a significant amount of value to our clients. And it's really just about being confident in yourself. That's the big hurdle to overcome, is the confidence. And mm-hmm. how I help, the easiest thing to do is rate your packages, gold, silver, bronze. Price gold and silver very, very high. Go crazy on your gold. Mm-hmm. Be aggressive on your silver and be a little bit more modest in your bronze, and don't give it all away in your bronze plan. 2/3 of your customer base, your client base, are going to choose the silver. So you'll already see that you've been underpricing yourselves just by doing that exercise. So it's an easy way to kind of like get it out there, price certain packages high, but have a fallback with your bronze. And you'll see for yourself that most are not going to take the bronze option. They're going to take your higher price plans. So that should be evidence enough.
Yeah. Wow. And that sounds a lot less scary and as well, because it's like, oh, well, I have the bronze, and if people don't like my silver or gold, they'll just choose correct. Bronze. But then you get correct. Pleasantly surprised. Well, that's
correct.
That's a really good tip.
Because we don't like sales. Accountants don't like sales. I don't like sales. I don't want to give a take it or leave it option. And this is like a gentler way, in my opinion. It's like, here's three options. Which one do you want?
Yeah. No. Okay. That's great. So that's step one. Standardizing and pricing. Lots of really good gold nuggets within that. But moving on to your step two, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm paraphrasing, but it's about developing a marketing strategy that brings in natural inbound leads rather than hunting leads down.
Correct.
Okay. And I wanted to ask if you had an example about how someone started and had some success with just one marketing strategy.
Yeah. Step one is standardizing, your packages and your pricing. We've created a foundation for your firm to be systematized. Step two is want to be earning more, working less. We need to make sure we have lead flow coming our way. If you already have lead flow, move to step three. But if you don't have lead flow and you don't have consistent high quality leads come your way, we need to fund your lifestyle. We want to grow the business, generally speaking. So we need to have some business coming to us. Mm-hmm. And a lot of firms are really stuck in the marketing. They don't know what to do. They don't know if they do blogging or SEO or Google Ads or Instagram or TikTok. They have no idea what to do. Truthfully, all of those channels work. You don't need to spread yourself too thin. Pick the one you like the most and just get consistent at it. You're not going to see instant results. Mm-hmm. So I think what I advocate for is like, just pick one channel and just work on it for like 6 months. There's little things you can do in the meantime. I have like all kinds of tips and tricks that I share in my newsletter, which we probably won't have time to go through here, but like a quick one is, I always say like to everyone that I'm coaching, put a PS in your email signature at the very, very bottom. You send 100 emails a day. Your PS, you have one sentence at the bottom of every email that you send that subtly advertises or promotes something you want to promote in your firm. So if you service e-commerce clients that are, $1 million, seven figures in revenue, and you help automate their accounting, PS, we help seven-figure e-commerce businesses automate their accounting and increase their profitability. Click here to schedule a meeting. If you send 100 emails a day, 700 emails a week or whatever it is, and you have that little advertisement happening on every single one, you're going to pick up some inbound leads that way. So there's some complicated strategies that you can double down on and just like focus your attention on those particular channels, like social media or whatever it is, and not give up too early on. But there's little templates and tactics and tricks that you can implement, like the PS email tactic, that will help you generate some inbound leads as well.
That's a super simple one that everyone listening could definitely take advantage of. And I love that it's very subtle. It's not, you're not really selling so much in that. So yeah.
Correct.
Okay. Fantastic. So that's step two. We'll move on to step three. And step three, again, I'm paraphrasing, so correct me if I'm wrong, but it's capacity planning, which is, it's all about forecasting how much time is going to be spent across all of your clients and then figuring out when and who to hire to service those clients. Is that correct? And I guess when did you do this in your own firm?
Yeah, so you are correct. I never had timesheets in my firm. Mm-hmm. But very early on, you know, we were growing relatively quickly. And very early on, I needed to figure out, who do I hire? And when do we bring someone on? And are we overloaded? And really, it just came down to, because we have these packages that are standard, we have a similar, you know, we have a relatively narrow client base, we could estimate how long something's going to take. We could estimate how long, 100 transactions per month for a client is going to be. We can estimate how long it's going to take to do a financial statement or, you know, a tax return. So it's not a science, but it's an estimate. It's just like a cash flow forecast. But instead of forecasting cash, we're forecasting time. So if we want to control the time that we spend in a firm, and if we want to protect our capacity, which is our scarcest resource, and if we want to be working less and making sure that, you know, we're not working nights and weekends because we're biting off more than we can chew, we mm-hmm. need to plan for that. And that comes about through capacity planning. So every month, like, it's the same way that you generate a cash flow forecast. So, you know, I would, you know, at the beginning of the year, or, you know, we're in April now, I'm not sure when this is going to air, but we're in April now. And in May, I would know, you know, this team member is over capacity or under capacity. At a firm-wide level, we're under capacity or over capacity. And I would be able to, you know, forecast the rest of the year. And that would allow me to identify when to bring someone on, who, what kind of person to bring on, whether we need to reallocate resources internally to balance things out. Mm-hmm. So it's really about balancing your available capacity, your team's capacity, with your time requirements on tasks and projects.
Okay. And I really like that also. You're pairing this up with finding your sweet spot and capacity planning around a sweet spot, because I mean, I guess I like to watch Shark Tank a lot, and Kevin O'Leary always says he just wants to pour gasoline on a fire. And yeah. So it sounds like that's, I guess, the dream in terms of capacity planning.
Exactly. You got it.
Yeah. And very relatable, hopefully, for the audience too, about, you know, planning out a cash flow, and instead of doing a cash flow, just doing it for time. Totally makes sense.
Correct.
Fantastic. So that we did three steps. Step one, about standardizing and pricing. Step two, just a simple marketing strategy to get those natural inbound leads. And then step three here, capacity planning. But you do have, I was going to say you have four more steps, but it sounds like you have three more.
This is where we take a little bit of a turn.
A little bit
from
of a
that
turn.
Podcast episode. Yeah. It's basically just consolidating the two next steps that you have on your list. But we have standardized what we're offering, and it's being priced properly. We have consistent leads coming through the door. We've planned our capacity so that we're not overworking ourselves and our team. And we've been able to identify who to bring on and when. So that leads us to step four, which is implementing an autonomous team. So you know, the key to this all is we want to step away from the business. We want it to grow. We want it to scale. But we want to also step away from the business and not be chained to everything. And probably the biggest reason why firm owners and partners are so busy is because they are the ultimate bottleneck. They do the sales, they do the marketing, they do client file review, they do quality control, they handle client issues that bubble up, they, you know, do the hiring, the management of the team, they put processes in place, they do strategy, they do literally everything. And the team is there to take away some of those tasks and take away some of those roles and take the ball and run with it. The problem is a lot of firm owners have trouble structuring the team properly to eliminate those bottlenecks, bringing on the right people at the right time. They're not sure how to attract high quality talent. They're bringing on people that simply don't work out very early on, and that either drag them down or need to be let go. So developing an autonomous team is what's going to allow you to take a step back, So, you know, like I was able to go to Indonesia for 7 weeks.
Yeah.
And I was able to completely disconnect for several of those weeks. That's only possible if you have a team. So that's step four.
Okay. So setting up that team, but, and that's such a requirement on you then too, to have that trust in your team and the do the due diligence to hire correctly. And speaking of hiring, I heard a nice piece of advice from a previous podcast guest. They said, hire slowly and fire fast. I think it was, obviously yep. You don't want to fire anyone, but, yeah, it's so important though, for you personally to then have that time in Indonesia where you can actually spend time with your daughter and your family. And that's correct. The dream. So,
correct.
And so you have two more steps after this, but I was thinking we might leave a little bit of a cliffhanger for everyone. Okay. and think about, oh, well, maybe we'll go check them out, because you actually have them over at futurefirm.co, and we yep. can provide the link in the description of this episode. So maybe we'll let the audience go check those out. But mm-hmm. I also wanted to add to everyone to let you know that Ryan actually has an online coaching program where he can aid you in these steps that we've talked about. And then it also has access to a community of 750 plus like-minded firm owners. And I know for me, I'm a firm believer that you are who you surround yourself with. So I'm very sad that I'm not a firm owner, as this is probably a wonderful community to be a part of that you've created.
Ethan, all you need is a credit card. All right. All you need is a credit.
Yeah. It's just that easy. So, So anyway, I just wanted to say thank you, Ryan, for sharing your insight today. And I guess to wrap up, is there any last thing you would like to say or a key takeaway for the audience?
Yeah, I think first off, appreciate you for having me. Maybe I went a little bit long on some of the responses. So for anyone that wants to see those last two steps of this system, there's a podcast specifically about it. I think it was launched in January. I think it's called the seven step pathway to reducing your workload in your firm. So you can check that out. And I think those last steps will be helpful for anyone that wants to follow along. Sign up to my newsletter, futurefirm.co/newsletter. There's over 7,500 readers that get that for free every single week. And it's just tips and tricks and ways to help you run your firm better. So that's the best way to stay in touch. If anyone has any questions, feel free to just reach out.
Awesome. Thank you, Ryan. All right. See you, everyone.
Bye. Thanks a lot, Ethan. Appreciate it.